maximizing profits on your wholesale deals to be able to increase your fees by 20 plus grand. And it's not even just your fees. It's more of also how to increase, let's say if you are doing this properly, you should be building an acquisitions business, right? So even if you're focused on fix and flip, buy and hold, you should be building an acquisition business. This is why you struggle to find good deals in this market, right? And this is why the market seems so uncertain to a lot of you guys, because you don't control your deal flow. Your deal flow is controlled by other wholesalers, agents, and whatever the market decides to do. And that's a terrible place to be in. The place you want to be in is controlling the deal flow yourself. You having the systems, the process, the team, everything you need to generate the deals that you are looking for. We have a very small team, and we generate and we buy over 90% of the deals we generate, right? Because we are our own buyer. The majority of the criteria that we search for and that we market in is our criteria, is what we are looking for. And that's how we're able to also increase our profit margins. But if you're wholesaling or even building your own acquisition business, the number one key that you need, and I'm over here, you know, thinking of like, how many keys do we have? But by far, I think if you do this one, it solves pretty much everything else. And that is to make sure that in real estate, you are going deeper, not wider. Now, I get it. That's not sexy. I understand. That is not the sexy part of real estate. The sexy part of real estate is to be running around like a chicken with your head cut off, bragging about how many supposed contracts you have when you close less than half of those. I get it. That's the cool thing in real estate. What I find cool about real estate is making money, right? And not just making money, but making money without losing your ass. Like, to me, that's sexy, right? And as much as you might say, you know, John, of course, I agree with you. I want to make money too. Your actions show something else. So what do I mean by going deeper and not wider? Go deeper on your list. A lot of you guys are doing absentees, probates, foreclosures, tax delinquent. You're doing single family, multifamily, land. You're doing this county, that city, across the state. And you are barely getting by. That's why you're barely getting by. Because you are so surface level, it's nearly impossible for you to understand the list thoroughly. And what ends up happening when you're going that surface level, your competition is these big wholesale companies, because that's how they operate. The difference is that they can throw a lot more money and people behind their marketing than you can. So it's hard for you to compete with them. That's why their average wholesale fee is 10, 15 grand, when our average wholesale fee is 25, 30, 40 grand, right? What's the difference? They can't compete with us, because they don't have the skill sets necessary to go as deep as we go on all of our lists that we go after. You understand? So when you are marketing to a list, I want you to specialize. Pick a list and specialize. You say, what list do I pick? Well, last week's training was exactly about that. Is what we do in our mastermind is what I teach on. Pillar one, pillar two. Know what your market is doing, where the need is, and what your buyers want, and where the money is. When you figure out those two things, you're going to know exactly what list to market to. If you don't know what list to market to, you don't have that foundation yet. Now, what you want to make sure is, as you're doing your marketing, as you're picking your list, once you figure those things out, you pick your list and you just go deep in it. You understand? Somebody asked me the other day, hey, do you think it makes sense to invest to market to land? I'm like, pillar two, do you have buyers that are willing to buy land? Well, that's your answer, right? If you don't have anybody to buy land, you're not looking for land. Why are you marketing in land? This is why when you get a piece of land, you don't know what the hell to do with it. Why are you getting a piece of land? You understand? Like, you're making this much harder than it needs to be. Now, single family, multifamily, commercial, land, mobile homes, they all make money. I know people that do each and every single one of those strategies in by themselves, and they're killing it. But they specialize in mobile homes. They specialize in multifamily. They specialize in vacant land. That's why they make a killing. because they know that industry very, very, very well. They know that niche very, very, very well. So they go deep on the strategy, on the list, and understand the most out of that. And then what that does is it takes us to the next place that you want to go deep in, is going deep with the sellers. So when you go deep with the list, that you understand it thoroughly, you know all the ins and outs, all the tweaks, all the ways that you can get that list to be of a higher motivation level, right? You don't just get absentees. You get absentees that are stacked with other motivators. And I've done trainings on this, so go back to the previous trainings that I've done, and I'll show you what other motivators you want to stack that with. But once you go deeper, now you're able to go deeper with the seller. When you go deeper with the seller, if I do a lot of call reviews for the people in my mastermind, right? So they speak to a seller, they send me the recording, and I listen to the recording and I give them feedback on how the call went. One of the things I tell people, I'm like, if within the first 5-10 minutes you're talking about the house, you're doing it wrong. If you are ever talking about the house, all you're talking about are numbers. And when it comes to numbers, the chances are there's somebody out there that's willing and able to pay more than you can. So you're always going to miss out. But if you go deeper with the seller, you ask deeper questions, you find out what the real motivation is, what the real need is. One of the things I talk about is pain or pleasure. Which is the motivating factor? There has to be one. There has to be one, and there has to be one that's stronger than the other one by far. Because when you figure out which one is driving this person more than the other, we can build on that. And that's when you get massive discounts. I'm talking about that's when you get to these sellers that tell you, you know what, just take the property, right? Like, I'm done with this. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to deal with the property. I don't want to deal with this. I don't care about the money. I'm fine. That's when you get those kind of sellers. Right now, we have a deal that we just picked up from a wholesaler that brought it to us. And we're probably, by the time it's all said and done, we're going to be in it for less than 10 grand. And there's over $90,000 of equity in the deal that we're going to be able to pretty much make within a month, right? Why? Because we were able to go deep with the seller and really find out what the distress is. And the seller, we got to a point where the seller's like, you know what? You're right. Just take the property. I don't care. Cool. That's how you get big deals. And if you're a fix and flipper, buy and hold investor, guess what? That's a tremendous margin on your flip now, right? Now, instead of having to get a marginal deal that's like, I got to make sure everything goes great. If not, I'm not going to get any money. That goes out the window. All your deals have enough margin for you to do whatever you want. I talked to so many flippers and buy and hold investors that are like going to the properties themselves to renovate it. I'm like, what the hell are you doing? Your time should be worth more than you doing any labor work on that house. The reason it's not is because you didn't buy right. You understand? And why you're not buying right? Because you're not generating your own deals. The next thing you want to focus on is going deeper with your buyers. So as a wholesaler, what does this mean? Is really understanding what is your buyer's motivation. What is their drive? What is their criteria? I have buyers that would like to buy real estate. They don't need to. They're not my buyers, right? I don't even think about them when I get a property. I want buyers that need a deal because this is their sole income, is flipping houses, acquiring rentals, because those are the guys that are always going to pay top dollars for these deals. So instead of me wholesaling to either another investor that does marketing just like I do, they don't need to take my deal at premium because they can generate their own. And if you're a buyer listening to this, yes, if you're not generating your own deals, you're paying premium. You understand? Because what other choice do you have? If you don't buy from a wholesaler or an agent, what else are you going to do? You don't know how to generate your own deals. You can't compete. And when it's been 4, 5, 6 months that you haven't done a deal, those tight marginal deals start looking very good right now. Because you're like, screw it. I need to do something. I need to get some income coming in. And at that point, you go from, I need to make $50,000 in profit to I'm okay doing 20 or 15. And that's terrible. I mean, 20, 15 profit, that can get wiped away very quickly on a rehab. You understand? So you put yourself in these rough situations. But as a wholesaler, those buyers are putting themselves in those rough situations. They're your ideal buyers because they're the ones that, instead of paying, you know, a $10,000 wholesale fee, they'll pay you $25,000 for that deal. Because instead of wanting 40, 50 grand profit, they'll probably be happy with 25 grand profit because they haven't done a deal in months. Now, are you taking advantage of them? Fuck no. That's supply and demand. They chose to not do the job correctly. That's their option. That's fine. But why should you leave money on the table if they're willing to pay for it? Does this make sense? Like, you're not forcing anybody to buy your deal, right? But guess what? If they don't come up to that number that you want, there are other buyers that will. So now they have an option to make. Do I pay that and get a deal, or do I let that go and hope for a better one at some point? Again, they're putting themselves in that situation. You're not putting them there. You are just supplying to the market. You understand? You're not sugarcoating the deal. You're not doing anything. Here's a deal as it sits. I'm asking for this much, right? And then you as a wholesaler get to decide. If somebody comes in and he says, you know, no, I'm willing to pay less. I want to pay this much less. I had this conversation with a student yesterday. They're like, I'm not having any buyers buying over this price. I'm like, okay, seems like that's the price. She says, but I feel like I can sell for more. Well, obviously not, right? If you could sell for more, you would have, that means that you would have buyers that are willing to pay more. You don't have those buyers. Now you got a choice to make. Are you going to let the deal go, or are you going to take a smaller wholesale fee? How can you have mitigated this? Get better buyers on your list. So this way you're not dealing with these buyers that, you know, can only be, and it doesn't make the buyer good or bad either. It's just, what is the market supplying? What is the market needing? What are the buyers willing to buy? You understand? And you are the party that gets to see what the market is doing. And that's what's going to allow you to go, like I said, go deeper. And if you can go deeper, you build yourself such a margin with your seller that almost it's hard to make a deal, to do a deal and make less than $20,000, $30,000. It's really hard to do that, because if you do the right job with the seller, you build so much margin. And then if you did a good job going deep with a buyer, you have tremendous amount of margin. You understand? And that's when you get so many of the wholesale deals that we've been doing lately, $50,000, $60,000 wholesales. They're not that hard. You understand? Because we know what we're doing. We go deep with the list. We're really good at what we do, right? And then the last one is going deep with your strategy. What do I mean by going deep with your strategy? Same thing I mean with the list, you do with your strategy, right? If you're flipping houses and you're flipping houses, let's say in this area of town, because you understand the year built, you understand the style of home, you understand the construction, you understand all that, stick with what you know, because that's how you are able to shorten the margin and the turnaround time. That's what we did. Our buy box in San Antonio, our houses built from 1978 to 2010. Why? Because pre-1978, you're dealing with cast iron plumbing, aluminum wiring, two-prong wiring. We wanted to get rid of all that. So these houses, that's our niche, right? We know how to flip those houses fast. We can walk a house and instantly we know what it's going to cost us to renovate the house. Instantly, we know how fast we're going to be able to renovate it. Instantly, we know how much we're going to be able to sell it for. So we're able to make decisions so much quicker than anybody else. When somebody brings us a deal, we make a decision within 15 minutes. We don't need any longer than that because we're really good at what we do, right? But we only do that. We don't jump into historic houses. We don't do houses on the other side or outside of the county where we don't know anything about. We don't do any of these things. We stick to the areas we know. We stick to the properties we like. We stick to the level of rehabs that we want to do. We also don't go above a certain amount of renovation because we know anything above that, getting the right contractors is going to be harder. It's going to take longer. And it's also going to cost more money, right? So now we got to factor in, is it worth investing that amount of capital for the return that comes in? We are going deeper in our strategy. And like I said at the beginning, as a wholesaler, I wholesale multifamily, mobile homes, vacant land. No, you don't do any of that. Every time I meet a wholesaler that does everything, they're always hurting for money. Always hurting for money. Or they got to get themselves, and this is ridiculous, they build themselves a team so they can keep hurting for money, right? Because even with the team, you're not making enough. It doesn't matter what the team is. The system is broken because you're not going deep enough. Now, I know if you're getting pissed at me, put it in the comments. I love, you know, stirring shit up. But I'm doing this because I'm telling you, I made all these same mistakes. We struggled for years in our business, all because of that same ignorance that we didn't know. But when I started piecing these things together and I started speaking to very successful investors, they all get successful by doing one thing really, really, really well. They don't do 20 different things, but every new investor does everything. I'm like, there's a disconnect here, right? Focus. What is, and this is why in the mastermind that I have, I teach you pillar one, which is market insight. What is the market asking? Because when you say, well, what do I focus on? Do I focus on single family, multifamily? Pull the market data. What is the market telling you? Is the market telling you that single family is moving? Multifamily is moving? Lands are in demand? What's in demand? And then cater to the market. But I don't like single family. I didn't know your feelings mattered. I'm sorry. I thought you wanted to make money, especially when you're getting started in business. When you're getting started, man, I don't know what the hell expectations you have. My expectations when I got started is I needed to eat. That was it. What's making money? This is making money. Let's go. Once I started making money and I was consistent at making money and I understood what I was doing, then I got picky with what I did. Then I got picky with what I bought, what I marketed to, what deals I even went to see, not go to see. There's some times I'm like, nah, I don't feel like going to check that one out. Again, not out of arrogance, is that I earned my right to be picky about what I do. You understand? Now I'm making money. I'm successful. I'm okay. I can do this. But when you're starting off having all these expectations and all this nonsense of like, I don't like this. It makes me uncomfortable. Go get a job. Right? Because if the market is telling you that's what's working and you don't want to do it, what are we talking about here? You understand? You're literally going against what actually makes money. How does that make any sense? So again, I'm not trying to beat you down or upset you here. If it upsets you, it's probably because it's true. And you should start making a change. If you have a team and you're not even paying yourself, drop the damn team. Okay? You don't need a team to not make money. That's ridiculous. Drop the team. You don't need a team. Make money on your own. A single investor doing just wholesaling, you should be able to generate between $250,000 and $500,000 a year. One investor, maybe with a VA. That's all you need. If you're not generating that revenue consistently, you don't need a team. I need somebody for acquisitions. Your acquisitions. I suck at acquisitions. Get better at it. What else? What other excuses do you have? Right? These things don't serve you. They don't help you. And then once you're successful at those levels, now you bring on strategic people. Instead of bringing on whatever person is willing to work for just commissions, right? Because you can't afford to pay them, you're going to be able to bring on somebody that's high quality. I'm talking about like if you want to grow your acquisition, you bring on a real freaking acquisitions person. They're going to 10x your business. That's what hiring means. But you haven't gone deep enough in your list, with your sellers, with your buyers, with your strategy. You're so surface level and you think that throwing more money at it is going to solve the problem. It's not. It's really not. I've tried it. We tried it for many years. And all we kept doing was stressing ourselves out. Now we're lucky that we work very little and make a lot of money. And not because we're special, but because we have systems and we specialize and focus on what we're really, really, really good at. That's how we're able to turn a deal that's maybe 20 grand for some people into $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 wholesale deals for us. And if we want to keep one of them as a flip, it's north of that. It's not hard, guys. It's really not hard. So that's the training that helps you guys. Put your questions in the chat. Any questions, concerns, anything that's not making sense, put it here. I'll address it right now. If you think I'm full of shit, let's go. Let me know. Scott, makes sense to have a one-person team as a wholesaler to generate all that income. I'm a buyer, but not sure building acquisitions is right for me. Looking to ramp up acquisitions. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, it's going to be rough, right? If you can't do acquisitions, you're always going to just be, like I said, you're going to be pretty much subject to whatever the market is producing. I don't know what it is about acquisitions that maybe has you hesitant. or concerned that you maybe you can't do it the way I teach it, it's about 3 to maybe 4 hours a day that you're putting into it. It's not that much work because we focus on getting results, not just doing random volume. So most of the students, they're doing just a few deals a month, but they're big deals. So it helps you with growing and all that. Zachary, dialing for dollars. Yes, cold calling is a very profitable, very successful strategy. You get a million at bats. It allows you to work off that rust of being on the phone and asking deeper questions with sellers. So I encourage it tremendously. A lot of people start off with direct mail, which is, I think, ridiculous because you are getting a call from a seller and you don't know how to speak to that seller. So I tell everybody, start off with cold calling, get used to asking deeper questions, get used to connecting with sellers better, get used to, understanding what is real motivation, what isn't, how to dig deeper with a seller. And the great thing with cold calling is you get a million at bats. That means you can call today, screw it up, call them next week, and they don't even know it's you again, right? Because they're getting called from other people and they just assume, that you're somebody else completely. So it's also very affordable. I mean, you're pretty much like the systems that we use, you're probably going to be all in less than $400-$500 a month if you're like, using everything. But even starting off, about $200 a month is enough. And you are cold calling and you're generating big deals. So, it's a different way of looking at it. Omar, do you think door knocking is more effective than cold calling? Absolutely not. No, not even a little bit. Door knocking is extremely time consuming. So the only properties I would ever door knock is I pull a list of a highly motivated seller. I'm talking about somebody that's on 3-4 different lists of motivation, like probably, foreclosure, vacant, pre-probate, tax delinquent, right? Like I'm talking about like they're all over the place, right? Multiple levels of motivation. And I've skip traced them through a few services and called every single number and haven't gotten a hold of them. Then I'll go and start searching for that property. And even at that point, it only depends on how much I have in the pipeline because it's so time consuming. And door knocking is something that it doesn't get received very well, right? So it's a massive chance and it's a huge, huge time suck. So everything at the end of the day works. It's just what can you be more effective and efficient with? And door knocking is definitely not efficient. And many times it's not even effective. So yeah. So I hope that helps, Omar. Yeah. You're right, Kurt. I mean, Kurt puts in here, Scott, I'm having to leave 10 to 15 grand in every deal. I buy from a wholesaler. It's not the end of the world because I'm not counting on the cash flow, but I can only do so many of those deals per year. And that's exactly it, right? It's Kurt, you're in a different position because you have a very successful business that's generating good revenue. So you're fine building your portfolio slowly, but it's exactly why you're in the group and why we're building an acquisition business. Cause I'm showing you, like, if you go straight to seller, not only will you not be leaving 10 to 15, but what we've seen with the deals that we've seen coming out of New Orleans, you're probably going to be able to negotiate even better deals. So instead of even not having to leave 10, 15, you'll probably get an extra $5,000 to $10,000 discount from that number, right? Because you're negotiating it properly where these other wholesalers that we've been seeing, my God, are they leaving meat on the table? Because they just don't know how to negotiate. They're so lazy. So going up against these lazy wholesalers is so simple. All you got to do is understand how to go deeper with the sellers. That's it. And all of a sudden, you're increasing your profits tremendously. I do not kid you. When I tell you can increase your profits by 20 grand minimum, it is not an overstatement here. Like, I have students doing that consistently. You understand? They were wholesaling for 6 to 10 grand before, and now they're doing 25, 30. I have a student right now that's looking at a $70,000 wholesale. Like, it's not impossible. It's really not. It's just knowing how to speak to a seller, how to go deeper, how to find the right buyers for them. Yeah, man. And you guys are crushing it, man. Cool. All right. Well, it seems like that's all the questions. I'll do a poll this week to see what other topics you guys want me to cover. And I'll go covering those in the coming weeks. But yeah, like I tell you, you know, Scott, and it's fine if real estate is not your main income, right? Like if it's not your primary income or you're not looking at making this into like your primary income, then yeah, you shouldn't be building an acquisition business. But if you are, trust me, I've been doing this for 12 years now. It all starts with your acquisitions. If you can't generate good, strong, high margin deals, you're always going to be struggling to make enough money. And you're going to be forced to take on deals that you probably didn't want to take. And they're marginal and they're stressful for no damn reason, right? So I hope all this helps, guys. I hope you got some value. And again, if you ever need anything, you want to learn more about the mastermind or you have any questions, just reach out. I'm here to help you guys out in any way that I can. So thank you all for being here. Thank you all for watching. And I'll catch you next week.